paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Congressman Darren LaHood joins us from downstate Peoria, Illinois. That's his district. I believe he's in Washington, D.C., though, today. Congressman, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, John. I'm doing well. Good to be with you and your listeners. And actually, I got on the last flight from D.C. to Midway last night and drove back to Peoria and got home a little after midnight. So I'm back home.
This is a little trivial, but could you just tell me what that airplane experience was like, airport and airplane itself?
Well, I put a picture on my Facebook page and on Twitter yesterday. There was five people. I got on an 8 o'clock flight yesterday morning from Midway on Southwest to D.C. There was five people on a plane that holds 200. On the return flight last night, there was 14 of us, nine members of Congress.
Boy, if you ever wanted to bend a congressman's ear right now, just book a flight, and the chances are you'll be sitting next to one of them.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, John, actually, that these planes are empty and there's nobody in the airport. It's surreal walking through. There's no lines. There's nothing open in the airports. It's a ghost town.
You were there to vote yesterday, Congressman?
I was.
And how did you vote? I'm sorry, I don't have the list in front of me, but just tell me what your vote was and what your thought is on that 3.5.
Yeah, I supported the bill that we voted on, essentially a little under $500 billion that will go to three programs. One, to replenish the PPP program, which has been, I think, the most successful and most helpful program for our small businesses. That adds about $350 billion. And then $100 billion for hospitals. Many of our rural hospitals get some of that money, hospitals that have not had a lot of patients or had a lot of activity, to help stay them, keep them afloat. And then about an additional $25 billion for testing to make our testing apparatus more efficient, more effective, more accountable. So a little under $500 billion, I proudly supported it. It passed overwhelmingly. I think there were only five no votes. We were missing a few members yesterday, but it was a different procedure. We had to exercise social separation. We had to vote in waves, and so it took a little longer than normal, but I was proud to be there to support the bill. And, John, as you may be aware, now this is our fourth bill we've passed, and we're now up to about $2.8 trillion that we have given out in stimulus across the country.
Is there any limit to that? Will there come a point where you say we can't afford it? Or how will you know that it's working sufficiently that you can scale it back? How long are you going to be doing something like this?
Well, you raise a very important point, John, and I think we're getting to that point now. I mean, we are essentially maxing out the credit card, right? On this $2.8 trillion that I mentioned, none of it is paid for. It is all deficit spending, and there is a debt bomb that is going to go off eventually. And there is a growing, acknowledgement that we can't continue to go down that path. And, you know, that gets to the point of you know, how long do we go before we, you know, try to transition and open up the economy, you know, to get back to normal, to have people have paychecks and money, because, you know, we're not going to spend our way out of this. There is a role for government to play, and we're doing that and need to do that. We can't let businesses go bankrupt. We have to be there for people. But that can't go on forever. We can't keep doing this in perpetuity. And, you know, the analogy has been used. It's kind of like when your roof is falling in, you got to fix your roof and you got to go into debt to do that, to protect everything inside. But once you kind of fix the roof, then you got to transition on. And I think, you know, this might be the last big bill we pass, but we'll see. The president's talking about infrastructure in future bills. We got to bail out some cities and municipalities, which is a controversial issue, as we heard this week, talking about bankruptcy for states. So there'll be more, but I don't know that it'll be as large as this.
Congressman, this is Steve Burton in the newsroom. In the beginning, you know, it's such an unnatural event that everyone thought there'll be a quick bounce back, and people were less worried. The longer this goes on, the more worried I am, and I hear from others, that there's not going to be a quick bounce back from this. How do you read that?
I agree with that. There is not going to be a light switch effect. It is going to be very, very gradual.
No, but I don't mean reopening the economy. I mean long term impact on the economy.
I think yes, I agree with that. I think there are real omnibus signs. If you look long term with the economy, it is going to be very, very slow. It is not going to be a big spike. And so I think that's why they're looking at infrastructure spending. You know, it's been analogized. This is like a baseball game. It's nine innings, and we're in inning four. So inning six, seven, and eight, they're looking at infrastructure as a way to, you know, get people working across the country. I think that's one way to look at it, but that's not necessarily going to jumpstart the economy like you're talking about. And I tend to think until you got a vaccine, until you give people assurance that, you know, you've medically taken care of this virus, it's going to be difficult to get back to the normal that we're used to.
It's going to be the swoosh, not the V, because, you know, we lost 11, but then we got 5,000 points back on the Dow, and you thought, hey, maybe this isn't going to be so long. But even if the markets recover to whatever point, the economy is going to lag that considerably. Is that what I hear you saying, Congressman?
That's my view on it right now. And again, I think health concerns are very, very impactful on people's spending decisions and transitioning back to normal. I mean, anybody that's over 60 years old, I mean, has real, real concerns about going back to normal until those health concerns are alleviated. And I just don't know how you do that without you know, medical professionals coming in with a vaccine or something that gives confidence.
Congressman Darren LaHood's on a phone line. Then do you see another round of stimulus checks going out, Congressman?
That's on the table right now. I think in the immediate future, you know, let's spend this $2.8 trillion. Let's get it out the door. The PPP program, of course, John, is for 8 weeks for small businesses. That's the restaurant bars. Let's see how they get through that. And if we need to come back and do it, I think in the immediate future, we're looking at cities and municipalities, how we help them shore up their finances. Secondarily, looking at infrastructure as a way to get people back to work. But if this lags on, there is a role for the government to play. I don't know that it'll be as extensive and as large as we've seen in the past, but I think we gotta be able to adapt and be nimble depending on what happens with the economy and how quickly we can transition back to some normality.
We talked to a downstate lawmaker this morning who's suing the governor because he thinks it's a violation of civil rights. That's his hook. He's just frankly trying to find a way to open it up independent of the state of Illinois. What are you hearing from people in central Illinois? Are they antsy? We all are antsy, but I think in the WGN radio listening area around Chicago, folks don't like this, but they get it. What do they say in Peoria and Pekin and Washington, Illinois?
So, John, people were disappointed in the governor's decision yesterday to extend the shelter in place and stay at home till May 30th. I think there was a recognition that maybe that was going to change, and I was hopeful, too. People are restless, and they're a bit angry downstate. Remember, 75% of our state is farmland. It's rural, and we've been fortunate in downstate Illinois. We haven't had the infection rates. We haven't had the hospitals filled up. I mean, we are not a hot spot. We are much more like Missouri and Iowa than we are Chicago, and we hope that the governor would recognize that, and there was a lot of thought that he would. And so there's real, again, restlessness, and I wish he would have done this on a tiered approach or a phased approach. That's what other states are doing. You know, tier one could be Chicago, but tier three is downstate, should be Peoria. And I think we have been compliant. We've followed the CDC guidelines. We've listened to Illinois Department of Public Health, and we haven't had anything. But I'll tell you this, John, OSF Hospital is virtually empty. They're furloughing nurses and doctors and personnel because there's nobody in the hospitals. And so I'm going to have a call with the governor with a number of my other colleagues to ask him to reconsider what he's doing in downstate Illinois.
I got some family and friends that work at St. Francis. That's that level one trauma center and hospital that you're talking about in Peoria. It's a great resource. And I know some people who have been laid off at that hospital, which is impossible for me to imagine. But there we are. A lot of things just aren't happening that would otherwise happen. And in part, it is because of this. Does Congress have oversight? I mean, this, I don't want to get too academic here, but if the president says something that disagrees with what the mayor says, which disagrees with what the governor says, and maybe a member of Congress has a different view, I think if we're ever going to wipe this thing out nationally, we need some sort of top-to-bottom or bottom-to-top coordination, Darren.
Well, I agree with that. I think that starts at the top in terms of, I mean, listen, the federal government has the resources through CDC, through the HHS, through the Surgeon General. I mean, NIH, right? We have the ability to move towards finding a vaccine and on testing also. So absolutely, I think it does start top down there. And I will, I mean, put aside politics, I do think the president's White House task force, if you listen to Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, which we all have over the last 6 weeks, I mean, I think it starts there. That's where the leadership has to happen in finding a vaccine and a cure, and then it filters down from there. These other decisions on when you open, when you don't, I mean, I do think states do have discretion and should have discretion on that, but I think it has to be in collaboration, and you have to have balance, John. That's what I want, is balance for downstate, a recognition that, again, we are different. And it needs to go region by region, kind of county by county.
One last thing. Should the United States continue to fund the World Health Organization?
I don't think we can abandon it, particularly with an epidemic right now. However, we need to get answers. Clearly, there was misinformation. People were deceitful. You know, we spend an awful lot amount of money with the World Health Organization. We need answers on what happened and what didn't happen and why we didn't get the information coming out of Wuhan. I think we got to get those answers, but I think it's hard to disassociate ourselves with a pandemic that's going on right now, but it doesn't mean we don't scrutinize them.
Good to hear your voice, Darren. Continue to do the work you do down in the 18th, and thanks for giving us some of your time.
Sounds great. Have a great weekend, guys.
Darren LaHood is a Republican downstate lawmaker from the Peoria area.